Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Native on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Brianna Kurtz. Each week, this show features a U.S. or international location and uses food and drink as a gateway to explore and celebrate the gastronomic and economic virtues of a location. Part travel show, part current affairs, Native recognizes the fact that food culture and commerce are everywhere and takes the opportunity to examine this relationship by using the eyes, ears, and taste buds of farmers, chefs, journalists, and the like. This week, I am joined by Margarita Arante to talk about all things Mexico, including her new book being released next week from Phaidon Press, entitled Mexico, the Cookbook. Hola, Margarita. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. Muy bien. Oye, soy Margarita Carrillo Arante.
I know I just can't say it as beautiful as you can. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Heritage today. I want to start off by talking about this book. It is enormous. It's about 3 inches thick. It's about 5 pounds at least. There's over 700 recipes in here. I feel like I'm really holding on to a legacy or an encyclopedia for anyone who wants to learn about Mexican cuisine. So how did you go about writing this book or approaching it?
Well, Mexican food is so varied, so vast, that this book shows only the tip of the iceberg. And it was so difficult for me to choose which recipes I was going to put in the book, because there are so many. I could write, I don't know, 5 or 10 books more of the same size, enough to cover the whole of Mexican cuisine, because Mexican cuisine is not only one; it's several cuisines according to the region of the country.
It's fascinating, and I do want to get to that because it really comes through the book, the regionality, and how you list every dish has a region listed with it.
And yes, because the style of cuisine is completely different.
Absolutely. How long did it take you to put all of this together?
Well, a lifetime, a lifetime, really, because, you know, this is the result of a lifetime in investigation and recipes from my friends, my family, my grandmother, my mom, mm-hmm.
Your colleagues.
Lots of my chef friends shared recipes with me, and a lot of trips I've done to little towns in Mexico, researching and... Well, you know, it's been a long time, but putting it together, it took me 3 years.
It seems like quite a project, but let's back up a little bit. I want to learn a little bit more about you. Where are you from in Mexico?
From Chihuahua.
Okay. And you live in Mexico City now, though, correct?
Yes, many years ago, I could say I'm from Mexico City, yeah. But my heart belongs to Chihuahua.
And how did cooking, because you've had such a long career in this industry, how did cooking become your life?
You know, it's a family thing. I come from a very, very traditional Mexican family. And in traditional Mexican families, cooking is part of the heritage, the cultural upbringing, is part of the family activities, is a very, very important part of the family life. I could tell you that in my family, family life was always spinning around the kitchen. It was the most important room in my house. My mother was an artist in many senses, but she was an artist in the kitchen. My grandmother was a widow at 28 with 4 children, and she she could give them education without getting married, remarried. She gave them education in a very honorable life with her cuisine. And it's been in my life always. It's under my skin.
Absolutely. And you've written several books, and you have several restaurants in Mexico. You have TV shows, and you teach at culinary schools. But I feel like your work has really gone beyond that and really dedicated to Mexican cuisine as a cultural kind of hallmark.
Yes. It is. Because it is. The cuisine of a country is, together with language, and is the most vivid expression, because it's you do it every day. It's there always. You do it three times a day.
And it's so unique to the place.
It's a natural thing.
Yes. And you've also led so many different campaigns, whether it's working with UNESCO or the Mexican Conservatory of Gastronomical Culture. And you've been very successful in the campaigns that you've worked with. So I want to ask you a couple questions, and kind of going back to the family element, how has Mexican cuisine and culture changed kind of over your lifetime? And what are the most important issues today right now in Mexican cuisine?
Well, of course, it's been always present in my life. And you know, my family, as I told you, was very... very, very much food-oriented. And I got married to a fantastic man who backed me up and who was also very food-oriented. And he traveled with me, and he took care of my children when I had to go and travel. And, you know, I have three sons. And I always count with my family backup. I can always rely on my family backup. And so that allowed me to travel a lot. And it's like my mission in life to show the world the authentic Mexican food. Mm-hmm. And something that is very important is that working in the conservatory, this is a voluntary work, you know, we are the small group who participated and worked very, very hard in making the file that was presented to UNESCO in order to UNESCO to include Mexican cuisine as a part of the cultural heritage. And this is a great historic event. We were the first cuisine, and up to today, we are still the only cuisine on the world to have been included in this list of cultural heritage.
That's quite an accomplishment.
It's a big responsibility, because this is not an award. It's a recognition that you have to keep on working, or otherwise they take you out of the list. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you said that your life's mission is to communicate the authentic Mexican cuisine. So what does authentic mean to you?
Going to the roots, showing the real Mexican food. You know, Mexican food is completely mingled with the culture, is a cultural expression, and with the religion, because every saint has its special dish. There is the, like for Lent, we have all these special dishes, and we have the special dish for the patron saint, whatever, of this little town or this other. And it's always, there is always a special dish for every occasion.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the holidays, because I know Dia Los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, is coming up next week. So is that a really big holiday in Mexico? And what are you cooking for that holiday?
Oh, yes. It's a very important day, because it's the day when your dead ones come back and share with you. You know, we believe that.
So it's a celebration?
Beg your pardon?
It's a celebration in that sense?
Yes, it is a celebration. There are no tears or anything. We set an altar with all the things the dead ones liked, their photographs, and the food they liked. If one of them played the guitar, you have a guitar there. Mm-hmm. Or if he smoked cigarettes, you have the cigarettes. Or if he liked, you know, this particular dish, you have a plate with the food. And on the 1st of November is the children, the dead children. Mm. So you put on the altar, you put sweets and toys and sweet food. And on the 2nd of November, it's all dead. So you have the tamales and mole. And according to the region in Mexico, this is something very important because Mexican food is very regional, you have the dishes that they liked.
Absolutely. And let's talk about some of that regionality. You kind of outline all of the regions in the beginning of the book, but like I said, as you go through, each dish has a region. And I was really surprised because I think in the U.S. anyway, there are some regions that are more popular than others. Like Puebla is very well known here, Oaxaca as well. But Veracruz really jumped out at me I just saw a lot of recipes from that region. So can you tell us a little bit about that, where it is and what that kind of cuisine is?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. For me, well, Puebla is fantastic. Oaxaca is outstanding. But Veracruz, for me, is one of the most important food regions in Mexico. It's in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was the door for the Spaniards to come in. So, and the indigenous groups that were settled there and still are, were very strong. They had a very strong and developed culture when the Spaniards arrived. So the ingredients, the techniques, the cultures mingled, and the result is fantastic. Fantastic. You have no idea the kind of food that Veracruz has.
Can you tell us a little bit about it? Like, is it more seafood since it's on the Gulf? Is it more?
Oh, yes.
What kind of spices?
A lot of seafood, yes, but not only seafood, because they have the Huasteca, which is a rainforest. And they have a lot of fantastic moles and, yes, a lot of... They have this mixture of sweet and savory and spicy. Oh, it's so good. And they have, like, the very famous that so many people have destroyed the recipe, but the so many famous pescado a la veracruzana.
What is that?
It's a delicious recipe made of fresh tomato, chile, onion, herbs, but it's a very, you know, Mexican food in general has a lot of sauce. We could say that the most important thing in Mexican food is the sauces, and the protein is important, yes, but it's like the excuse to eat the sauce.
The protein's just the vehicle for the sauce.
Yes, yes, but the sauces. Some of them you take days to make. And don't worry, those are not in the book.
Because and a lot of tradition.
I was sure nobody was going to make them. But it's something like very fresh. I love Veracruz food.
I'm so interested to learn more about it. It definitely jumped out at me in the book. Well, let's move north a little bit to, I know could be considered its own region, I'm sure, but Mexico City, your town. And I want to talk about the street food there. You devote a whole chapter to street food in the book. And I want to just talk about really like the different times of day in street food, like street food in the morning versus the afternoon versus the evening or late night. Like, how are you going to see the food on the street change?
Yes, we have the morning food, which is, you know, like in this trip, I was going to the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were already vendors in the streets selling tamales and atole for people. You know, in Mexico City, life starts very, very early. And the morning food is this, you know, tamales, atole, these hot drinks. Mm-hmm. Atole is a corn-based hot drink. Normally with fruit or nuts, it's delicious. And when you have these tamalitos, and then you go to work.
And at lunchtime, there's tacos and other things, normally tacos. And at night, you have tamales again, but you have then, like, the broth, you know, pozoles and caldo tlalpeño and, you know, this, like, a broth.
Yes.
With meat and lettuce and cabbage and different things. And then very late, very, very late, like 2 or 3 in the morning or 4, depending, then you have menudo, which is tripe, in a broth. You have menudo and, well, of course, you have tacos. You can have tacos in Mexico.
All the time.
All the time. But a different kind of tacos. Then you have this sweat tacos, mm-hmm. that we call them, basket sweat tacos. And you have them then but especially the broths, when you are late and it turns chilly, then we have menudo, tripe.
Sounds delicious. Well, before we take a quick break, I want to talk about one more thing. I know we could spend the whole show talking about how important corn is to the Mexican history and culture and cuisine, but I actually want to talk about pumpkin because it's becoming that time of year here up north and where I live in New York. But I was interested to learn that pumpkin propagation is actually older than corn in Mexico. And I just want to talk about maybe some of your favorite dishes that have pumpkin.
Yes. Corn, well, of course, corn is very important. We have to talk about that later.
Okay.
But pumpkin is one of the three, we call it the three sisters that grow on the corn fields, which is corn, beans, and pumpkin. Pumpkin we use a lot. But mainly, we use the seeds to cook. We have pipianes, a lot of salsa, sirita, jaciquilpac. We have many dishes that are in the book in which we use the seeds. And we use the, in this season, particularly for the Day of the Dead, and this season on all the way to December, and then in Lent, again, we use calabaza en tacha, which is pumpkin in piloncillo, this raw cane sugar. Uh-huh. And we cook it with spices, with cinnamon, star anise, allspice berries. And we use, according to the season, if it's in winter like now, we use tejocotes, guavas, to cook with them. And we also make tamales with pumpkin and shrimp. And they are so good, delicious, in Veracruz particularly.
Interesting.
In Veracruz.
Well, I'm definitely going to be trying those recipes, and I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be learning more about Mexico. Be right back.
You are listening to Spicy Peanuts by Evan Hashi.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Hey, my name is Betsy Andrews, executive editor of Severa Magazine, and I am hanging out at the coolest, most delicious place in the world, heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, we are back. I'm Brianna Kurtz, and you are listening to Native on Heritage Radio Network. And I am talking to Margarita Carrillo Arante all about Mexican cuisine and her new book, Mexico, The Cookbook. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit, Margarita, about the meal structure in Mexico. And again, you outline it so well in the book. There's five different meal times that you go that you talk about. So I was wondering if we could kind of walk through them, the first to the last. The first one you describe is desayuno. Is that right?
Desayuno, yes.
And what is that?
Desayuno, what we normally do, we normally take is some eggs with beans and bread and hot drink. It can be atole or coffee or chocolate or, you know, some hot drink or milk, if you give to children. And it's a very good, nutritious meal. Mm-hmm. Then you have almuerzo, depending on where you live. If you live in the city or if you live in the countryside. If you live in the city, you have breakfast. Then you have a snack in mid-morning, like could be a yogurt or a fruit or a little snack. Mm-hmm. Half a sandwich or something like that. And then you have the most important meal in the day, which is lunch, comida. And then in the comida, you have soup, main course, beans, dessert, and you accompany this with agua fresca, fresh water that we call. It's this water processed with fruit and some pieces of ice, and then you have this cold drink. And then in the afternoon, you can have merienda or nothing. And then in the evening, you have a cena, which is a lighter meal, quesadillas or a bowl of cereal with milk or tostadas or, you know, something lighter.
Okay. And is this, you talk about it a little bit in the book, but is this kind of changing where, because of the modern day life and the scheduling, that comida is becoming less and less and that you're having the bigger meal at the end of the day?
Well, not really.
No?
No, not really. No.
So it's
no.
still
no.
traditional?
No, because
structure.
Of the heavy style of life, what has happened very sadly, I can tell you, is people don't go to eat to their houses anymore. Mm-hmm. They eat in the street. Mm-hmm. That's why there are a lot of fondas and cocinas económicas and small places where they eat. No, but the most important meal in Mexican food is still lunch.
Still the comida. Okay.
But lunch at Mexican time, which is between 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm. And, all right, we're going to move on a little bit. I know this is going to be a hard question to answer, but do you have a favorite dish that you like to cook, Mexican dish?
Well, that is a hard question. Well, I love to make tamales. I even have a book on tamales.
And what about maybe if you're not feeling well or, you know, a comfort Mexican comfort food? What is that like?
Oh, no. Then that it's a soup always. Always a caldito with a little bit of chicken and vegetables and something hearty but light.
Okay.
Nothing fried. It's just, if it's during the daytime, a savory dish, I would have, yes, a caldito, something liquid.
Fair enough. I'm always curious to see about when, you know, when you're little and you don't feel well, what your mother would make you or what you would want. And it's different in every culture. And I just think it's really interesting. So I always like to ask.
Yes. And if it's in the evening, an atole, definitely.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about you know, kind of going back in the beginning, we were talking about authentic Mexican cuisine and what that really is. And I had Betsy Andrews in from Savor Magazine on the show about a week ago, and she was very excited about Mexican food in the U.S. right now, especially here in New York. We have Enrique Oliveira's new Cosme is going to open any day now. Alex Stupak, I can't talk right now, just opened another taco shop, Empeon El Pastor. There's your book, you know, is coming out. There's all this evolution going on. So are we finally going to start seeing good Mexican food here in the U.S., in New York especially? I feel like it's pretty hard to find.
Yeah. Well, the world in general is turning their eyes to Mexican food. I think they're realizing, first, the Mexican young chefs like Enrique and Daniel Obadia and Gerardo Vasquez and all these very, very good chefs, they have recognized themselves the importance of our food, of Mexican food. So they have concentrated their efforts in showing the world Mexican food, but their interpretation of Mexican food. And Enrique, in particular, has gone back to the street food, the everyday street food, bringing it to a very high level in his white cloth restaurant, tablecloth restaurant, and very delicate flavors. And, you know, he's an artist. Mm-hmm. He's an artist. And also, I understand he's also Daniel Obadia is also opening a restaurant in New York, and they are showing the world their own interpretation of the authentic Mexican food. And this is good, because even if it is their interpretation, the eyes of the world are turning to Mexican food. So we have a big responsibility, big, huge responsibility of showing the authentic, the real thing, the best.
And you are going to be doing that here in New York pretty soon yourself, aren't you?
Yes. I'm so excited.
Tell us a little
New
bit
York.
About that. You're obviously on the road, you know, promoting the book, and you're coming to do some events with Tacombi. So can you tell us about what's going on there this month?
Yes, we're going to have this dinner in which we are going to cook recipes from the book. And I want to share this happiness that I have and this enthusiasm with New Yorkers. And I hope, there have been several Mexican restaurants in New York, like Rosa Mexicano, for a long time, and, you know, other smaller little places like La Esquina and, you know, several. And there are many little places that are trying to serve the authentic. And I'm so happy that Enrique is opening Cosme in New York. So happy, really.
I can't wait to try it. But I know that Café El Presidente Tacombi is having like the 14 days of tacos. So every day they're doing a different taco from a different region in Mexico. And that started October 20th and goes through November 2nd. So anyone who's listening, you have plenty of time to get there and try all kinds of different tacos. And then you're doing the event on November 1st, correct?
Yes. On November 1st, I'm going to be there, and I'm willing to answer all the questions and to explain to everybody what is the authentic.
Excellent. Well, we are about out of time. Margarita, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a blast
Thank you for giving me this opportunity of sharing my enthusiasm with your public and really with your audience. And try Mexican food, authentic. Don't go to the commercial places, because try to cook Mexican food. There is no excuse. You know, yesterday I went to look for the ingredients for tonight's event here in San Antonio, and there's everything you need to cook Mexican food for you find in the U.S.
That's a great point. And you can definitely check it out yourself by picking up a copy of the cookbook, Mexico, from Phaedon Press. It's out next week. You can pre-order it online now. That's all for Native. Next week, I'm heading down south to Knoxville to talk to Jeff Ross from Blackberry Farm and an old friend who is actually a Blackberry Farm alum, but is now helping run his own farm in the area. Thank you again so much, Margarita.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.